The pivotal chapter of Christian doctrine, which provokes thought and consideration and prayer and understanding, predestination, election, and the human role in God's purpose and plan. So having studied the first 8 chapters, and having spent 2 sessions in Romans 9, we're right into the subject of the election of Jacob. So we want to look at that this morning. But let's read from verse 1 through verse 24, so we capture the entire message. Romans 9, 1. I tell the truth in Christ, I am not lying, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and continual grief in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenant, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises, of whom are the fathers and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all the eternally blessed God. Amen. But it is not that the word of God has taken no effect, for they are not all Israel who are of Israel, nor are they all children because they are the seed of Abraham, but in Isaac your seed shall be called. That is, those who are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah had also conceived by one man, even by our father Isaac, for the children not yet being born, nor having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him who calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So that it is not of him who wills or runs, but it is of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, even for this same purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be declared in all the earth. Therefore he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. But you will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O men, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and make his power known, endured with much patience the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. Now we want to come this morning to verses 10 through 13 again and consider the election of Jacob, which brings us to that great biblical doctrine. And regardless of human response, the only question is it biblical? Is election a doctrine backed by biblical authority? And we say amen, hallelujah, and yes, well over 100 passages of Scripture. And I have people had come to me after being exposed to the doctrine of election and having embraced it to say, Bill, it leaps out at me on every page of the Bible. It's just there constantly. That's true. It is a doctrine of biblical authority. What is it? It is a selection of some from among many. God has an election, but it is a selection of some from among many. Now, some people talk about the Lord's coming like this. When the last one of God's elect has been saved, that is according to a number, whether it's 5 billion, 10 billion, when that last one has been saved, then the Lord comes. But election is not to be based on a number. It's not how many, but it is who, because it's a personal election. Who shall we save? We might say the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, before the creation of the world, determined who among humanity will be saved. So the timing of election in one case, in Ephesians 1, is before there was ever any creation, God knew every human being who would be born, and those whom he would save, and those who would be condemned to eternal hell. Now with this passage we're reading, the timing of Jacob's election was at least before birth. And so we learn a little bit about that. And therefore, election is immutable, that it is unchanging. God decided before creation who or whom he would save. And that never changes. God saved you because you were one of his chosen. Now, after you are saved, your life is not all that great. Did God say, oops, we shouldn't have saved him or her? No. It'll never change. Election is immutable. Well, now let's get right to the text here and see what it says about Jacob and Esau. There's an outline on the back of the bulletin, if that will help. We must know, and I've mentioned this, that election is personal. It involves people. Jacob, in this case, Jacob, Esau. Now, we have to say that because some people water down this text and they say it's an election of nations. Has nothing to do personally. Well, it's very personal here. And it's turned around in such a way that Esau should be preferred over Jacob because Esau is the elder. He's the firstborn. And in the usual flow of things, it's the firstborn who receives the blessing and the inheritance, and God changed it. And he changed it for a purpose. That his purpose in election might stand. And to show that God's sovereign predestination is the only cause of Jacob's election. Nothing in him, nothing about him that merits any of God's attention or any of God's goodness. It's simply that God loved Jacob and he hated Esau. And the purpose is that God distinguishes between and among human beings who will be his elect. I suppose this phrase, this statement in Scripture, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated, is the thing that sticks like a thorn in the minds of people. A good God could never hate anyone. So we've got to change this. We've got to find some way to explain this so that it doesn't mean Esau was hated. Esau was hated, along with every other unbeliever. God does not love everybody with redeeming love, only his elect. So in thinking about a way to say this, we might say, Jacob, I have eternally accepted in love. Esau, I have eternally rejected as an object of my sovereign wrath. That's the doctrinal statement. That's the truth of what God was doing. Jacob becomes the heir of the promise through whom Christ would be born. And Jacob has 12 sons. And one of them is going to carry on the line of Christ, and that's going to be Judah. Judah will be in the line of Christ. So we have this great thought here. It is a personal election. Jacob, not Esau. God declared it. Now, biblical election is also unto salvation. Another way people want to water down election is to say that it's unto service, the way people will live and how they will serve God. That's a watered down view that cannot be accepted. Biblical election is unto salvation, eternal destiny, heaven or hell. So, because that's true and because it's so difficult for many people, there are humanistic errors about the thoughts of salvation. One of them is people say constantly, it's too deep. This matter of predestination and election is too mysterious. It's incomprehensible by the human mind. Forget it. Don't talk about it. Just ignore it and let it go. It's too deep. Let it alone. That isn't true. Spiritual truth is beyond human comprehension. We admit that. We're not saying we are bright enough or able in and of ourselves to comprehend the truth. But what we have is the living Holy Spirit of God within us. And he is the interpreter of Scripture to us. God has declared it. Therefore, we study it. Therefore, we learn about it. Therefore, we thank God for it. And we ask God to give us this truth to humble our hearts. So we do not accept the fact that it's too deep. And then another watered-down version is that election depends upon those who exercise their free will to accept Christ. It's that age-old thought of foreknowledge. God looked down through the tunnel of time and saw who would exercise free will, accept and receive Christ, and therefore that's the basis of his election. Well, that's just beyond comprehension that human beings could think that. Then some believe that election refers to temporal gifts, such as Jacob was going to receive a great inheritance in the land. Esau would be cast out of the land, and he would become the father of the Edomites. And fourthly, some say it's an election of nations, which I mentioned before. This text refers to the predestinating election of Jacob unto salvation and the eternal appointment of Esau unto reprobation. So here we have the doctrine of election. And how can we summarize it? We can summarize it by saying, first of all, it is according to the sovereign will of God himself. And Paul labors that in talking about Moses, as God spoke to Moses. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. That's it. Doesn't matter about human argument or human misunderstanding. It's according to my mercy and my compassion, not on man's effort. And secondly, it is not according to man's choosing. If it was left for man to choose Christ or make a decision to accept him, who do you think would do that? Who would, of free will, accept and believe in Christ? No one. Because no one is capable and no one wants to. And God has to first come in regeneration and do that. Another summary statement we could make, it is not according to any human merit. Or according to any human evil. Did you read the text? Before they were born, having done neither good or evil. It's not that. It is not according to man's faith. It is simply out of God himself. It is not out of human ancestry. Jacob and Esau had the same parents. Jacob is accepted, Esau is rejected, and rightly so. So, as far as thinking of election, then, the coming to Christ, the believing in Christ is the fruit of God's grace. And when we come and present the gospel, and if the matter of election happens to come up in that discussion, and we can say to the person to whom we are speaking, would you want to be one of God's elect? And that person says yes. Then we know that God's grace is already working, because nobody gets that far apart from the grace of God. And as much as we could say about salvation, why did God choose Jacob? Why did God choose Skip? Why did God choose Steve? Why did God choose Beck? Why choose any of them? Love. That's the only thing given to us in Scripture. that the basis of God's election is love. And that the basis of the reprobation of the unbeliever is his wrath toward sin. Now, we're winking at sin these days. Our nation gets worse and worse in the pollution of immorality, and corruption is everywhere from the top to the bottom. And so we sort of think that God is putting up with it all, sort of just winking and passing it by. God's wrath towards sin never changes. And God's judgment of the reprobate is as sure as we are here this morning. And it's his wrath against sin that brings that about. So here is God. And what we need to learn these days is that God is God. And that he has not abdicated his throne of glory. That he has not changed his views of sin or heaven or hell. You know, God has some rights. Our society is filled with rights. Everybody wants rights. Civil rights, human rights, and we in our country try to work with nations to trade according to their human rights. If we don't think they're exercising human rights, we don't trade with them. So that's what's supposed to happen. Rights, civil rights, human rights. I have my rights. Everybody's rising up for rights, and they sue anybody and everybody who's taking away their rights. How about God's rights? See, you want to question him about the election? Who are you, O man, to reply against God? You measly, puny human being, going to question the Almighty? God has the right to choose whom he pleases unto salvation. He has the right to do that. He is not obligated to anyone. He owes no debts. How about God's rights, folks? How about God's freedom? He is the only free will in the universe. And he has the right to exercise his freedom. How about God's justice? Here's the question. Is he just in loving Jacob and hating Esau? That's the question that arises. You'll say to me then, where is his justice? He's perfectly just in assigning the unbelieving to hell forever. He is perfectly just in saving his elect because the penalty for their sin has been paid. So while we study the scripture and we get wrapped up in events like this, let's not just focus on the people. Jacob's not the hero. Esau's not the hero. It's God himself. And if in reading this passage and the thoughts about God electing Jacob over Esau, if that doesn't cause us to bow in humility and rise up in appreciation, then there's something missing in our spiritual being. Let's pray that this passage will cause us to worship God as never before and to honor him as he deserves to be honored and to know that he is worthy of our life of serving him. Eternal God, our glorious Father, thank you for exercising your rights, your freedom, your power, your glory, and your ability over kings and princes and armies and political powers and doing as you have planned from all eternity. Thank you for exercising your right in choosing a people to be with you forever. and to regenerate them and to cause them to believe, and we change it from them to us. Thank you that you've caused us. And Lord, personally, I thank you for choosing me and giving me the glory of your election. Now cause us, Lord, to set our priorities this morning, to really put you first and to serve you with all of our being. Oh, dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you will move from heart to heart and do a work of powerful grace in our lives this morning to bring us to a place of submission and surrender to you and to you only. Thank you for Romans chapter 9 and the privilege of considering that truth here together this morning. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.